If you both could introduce yourself briefly, what's your name and where are you from and what do you do?
My name is Karen Moonen. I'm originally from Kodiak. I'm a Alootiq from Kodiak. And my dad was originally from Ninilchik on the Kenai Peninsula. And I met my husband back in 91 and been together ever since. Do a lot of stuff together.
Herman.
Okay. Hey, I'm Herman Moonen. I'm originally from Port Graham. My parents are from Port Graham, Nanuaq, and right now I'm trying to be an artist.
What do you do?
Carve.
Awesome. Maybe we'll see some carvings soon here.
I got one. I got some done.
Yeah, cool. I've heard that you collect and gather a lot of forest products together. Also, could you tell me briefly what kind of forest products and in what regions you used to go to collect them, or where do you go now?
Well, currently we're living on the Kenai Peninsula in the Anchor Point area, and I still go out and gather. I'll go out and gather all kinds of plants. I make salves, medicinal salves, and teas, herbs that are well known to the native peoples of Alaska and their medicinal use. So I make a lot of teas and use a lot of it, home remedy stuff, and collect, spruce roots. I still like to do basketry, and so use a lot of the plants. Devil's Club is well known,
Berries.
widely used. Berries, fireweed. I've been picking clover lately.
For food.
Clover and for teas,
Okay.
for medicinal teas, and some of my salves and
Wow.
stuff like that. So, been busy out there in the bushes. Not busy enough though.
Do you hunt?
I don't particularly.
Yeah.
I don't even own a gun.
Yeah, me neither. Do you hunt, Herman?
No.
No? I will leave it to the others.
He was a fisherman.
Well, what regions or where do you go collect the products, forest products nowadays?
Well,
Where do you used to
nowadays,
go?
where we're at, we're in a perfect spot. We're on like almost 5 acres, so the forest is really, really right out my back door. So I don't have to go very far
That's nice.
to collect stuff. But there are specific spots, for specific things that I'm searching for, like cottonwood, which is a balsam. You have to go, by cottonwood trees, mostly generally along, riverbeds and kind of that area. So I have to go a little bit of distance from our house, out the road and stuff too. You could get, permits from state parks and stuff to access. So I've actually dug spruce roots down by Anchor River in previous years, which is a great place to dig spruce roots because of the sand, and they're easy to get to. So I also went and dug spruce roots over in Nanwalek on the bluffs and stuff like that, where the moss is just barely covering the roots and stuff. But there's some knowledge to that too, where you have to be careful you're not damaging the tree. You have to be careful you're not picking the feeder roots, and you want to pick the runner roots when you're harvesting your spruce roots. So,
Yeah.
You got to be kind of knowledgeable in what you're doing when you're digging spruce so you don't damage the tree. But in actuality, it was oxygenating or giving the plant oxygen so that year the tree would actually grow bigger in that year because it was kind of like cultivating it, I guess. And so it would give the plant, the tree, more oxygen. Therefore, it had more growth than other trees if they weren't harvest or cultivating the roots from the trees. And they actually proved it by, they did studies, the state of Alaska did studies of the rings of trees and stuff like that, of the growth span for a year. And it was pretty interesting.
Wow, I didn't know that. Yeah. Interesting. What time of the year do you go collect, let's say, cottonwood or spruce roots?
Well, spruce roots and cottonwood kind of go really close together. Spruce roots has two windows, and also cottonwood has two windows that you're going to go harvest. Mm-hmm. The first one, of course, is in the spring. Spruce roots, when you're harvesting runner roots, you want to get it early in the spring, right after the snow melts. Mm-hmm. And then cottonwood, of course, when they first come out, you see the sticky buds on the branches, and they stick all over your pet and everything. That's actually, the sticky stuff is actually the medicine from the plant. It's the best man. Wow. It is really a powerful medicine for eczema, psoriasis, all kinds of skin conditions that I like to use in salves. It's actually a really good plant for burns. If you burn yourself, it would stop the burning. It will literally stop it within like 30 seconds.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah. Where did you learn all this?
Like, I have learned from so many different teachers, from elders. Mm-hmm. I've lived as far south as Chignik, Alaska. And I had met a lady down there. She was in her 80s. Mm-hmm. And I think that was back in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot of plant stuff from elders, from my mom, from other teachers, Janice Schofield. I'm sure you heard of her. She wrote a big book on plants in Alaska, mostly in South Central region. Mm-hmm. So, and she kind of grew up in Soldovia, so she knew a lot about that too. So not just one person I can say is my teacher. I have many teachers and I'm still learning.
Yeah, never
still,
ending.
Yeah, still learning. Yeah. From different people, know different stuff from different regions, and it's just amazing.
Yeah. What about you, Herman? For your carving work, what kind of wood do you use?
Driftwood.
Driftwood.
Off the beach.
Right off the beach in Anchor Point?
Anywhere. No, not this where I can find driftwood, really.
That's good.
You have to be a certain kind of driftwood, too. It's got to be a certain size, certain grain bones, certain.
Does it matter what time of the year you go collect it, or no? I don't know if it's like colder or more wet. I don't know.
I've always gone out in the springtime, find wood.
Yeah.
It's the best time anyway.
Yeah. Do you know what driftwood, I don't really know if you can tell which wood it is. Like, is it cedar or spruce or?
Yeah.
You can
know what the wood is out there.
Yeah.
It's all beaten up. It all comes in all beaten up, all weather worn. They just chop into it and see what kind of wood it is.
Okay.
Chop the wedge into the wood.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Have you, while you've been out in the woods or collecting, gathering, have you noticed any new plant species? Or is there more of some species and berries, or less of some herds or?
I don't know. I never really noticed any kind of changes like that, other than I noticed, you know, this spring going down to the beach, that a lot of the alder leaves was eaten up by something. Something is eating the leaves, I mean, completely clearing the branches of its leaves in the spring, which I found that was really... really amazing that what's eating the alders and the plants down in our area. So that's kind of concerning. I don't know. We were kind of thinking that it was moss because we were touching some of the alder branches and some of these moths, little moths were flying off of it. So maybe that's what's eating away at it.
I just read from ADN the story about the moth berry something, that this moth is eating the blueberry leaves. And it's wiped out all of, like, the whole Kenai pretty much, and it's going north. And we went to Hatcher Pass with my husband, and there wasn't any blueberries. And I kept on telling him that there's not even any leaves left. Like, where did it, like, was it so dry? And then I read this story and went, okay.
That's probably what's infecting the alders bushes, too.
Yeah. Have you noticed any changes in the species that you do collect? Like, is the cottonwood, are the buds the same size as they used to be? Are they smaller? Do they come earlier?
No, I never noticed any changes in that. And I think that from year to year, our seasons kind of stagger. I don't think 1 year can be compared to another year, because I think nature is going to take its own course, whatever course it's on, and take us with us. Yeah. I mean, take us with it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that I noticed any changes in the sizes or anything of that.
Yeah. What about you, Herman? Have you observed any changes in the, let's say, berries or new species? Disappeared species?
No, not really. It seems like some years we have a lot of berries, and other years we don't have very many berries.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Something I've ever noticed. I've never seen anything. And those are larger than what we've seen.
Yeah.
All the berries get eaten.
Yeah.
Other than the spruce beetle, you know.
Yeah.
Infecting the Kenai Peninsula over the years, you know, but it seems like, you know, after quite a bit of it has died off, and they cleared a lot of it. I mean, where there used to be forest, now there is none on the Kenai. I find that, you know, them replanting trees, I know that they have a program of replanting, reforesting. Down there and stuff, and like family down there has replanted when they first had cut, you know, cleared the spruce, the beetle kill trees, and they're slowly coming back, I think, but I think that it's going to take, you know, a long time.
Somebody told me earlier that with these spruce beetle kills, and with the summer storms and lightning that has been more common on the Kenai, that's like a devastating combination for the forest, because the wood is so dry by the beetle kills that it'll just clear the bigger areas. It's unfortunate. I'm not familiar with the spruce beetle. Has it been here? Do you know if it's a new species that's come here to Alaska? Or has it always been, doing its things?
I think it's always been there.
Yeah.
I just think it just comes out when they notice it now. When they, you know, start noticing the trees dying off, then they notice that they're coming.
Yeah.
Then probably a few years down the road, then they'll disappear again for a while. And
Yeah. About the trees still, when thinking of a riverbed, let's say a salmon riverbed, what do you think is the most common wood or tree along the river? Like a visual, what do you see when you walk along a river, a salmon river?
Cottonwood and alders.
The other thing that's different in Port Grand that I've noticed now is since they went in and logged some of the areas too, now we've got moose coming in. Starting to get moose hunting. People are able to go moose hunting and get a moose every year pretty much now.
Yeah. Is there a lot of logging happening?
Well, this was a while back. It was quite some time ago.
It was back in the early 80s when they first forested it or deforested.
Yeah. Did they do clear cutting or selected?
Pretty much clear cutting, then they went back and planted the trees later on again.
Yeah.
The trees were doing pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the moose certainly like the alders and cottonwood, little, the young ones. What are they called? The young trees.
I don't know what they call it. Also,
saplings. Yeah.
Last time I think of it for little moose.
Not a little moose. Would you like to? Do you have something in mind that you'd like to share about, like Sitka spruce use, other than the roots?
Well, they also would pick the new growth in the spring. They use it for tea, making tea and medicinal tea. You could also use the sap. They used to use it for gum.
Oh. Have you ever tried it?
No, but my husband has.
Yeah. How is it?
It ain't bad after you chew it a while.
Yeah.
They used to roll it in sugar, I believe. Some people would roll it, roll the ball of sap and sugar before they would chew it. So there are just so many things that you can do with spruce, you know.
Do you use the bark or the...
I used to use the sap to draw out infection. And I mean, where you had a cut or something like that, and it was all pussy, and you couldn't, and it was super infected, and it was red and swollen. You actually take that sap, and you would stick it on your cut, and you'd put a bandage over it, you know, like for overnight. And then you would remove the bandage. Well, the sap has the strength to withdraw the pus, and the pus gets stuck on the bandage, and the sap got hard, so the infection wouldn't get back into your skin.
Wow.
Really amazing stuff. Really awesome plant in our forest is the Sitka spruce. It has so many purposes. So many.
How far does Sitka spruce, how far up north does it grow? Do you know?
I'm not really sure. I know they don't have, you know, like when I lived in Chignik, they didn't really have any trees down there. I mean, they had like alders, you know, willows and stuff like that, but their spruce trees were just planted by somebody, you know, and so there's only one or two or something like
decorative.
That's made it through, you know, their weather down there.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I don't think it goes up that far, do you?
Mm-hmm. What about cedar, red cedar, or?
Red cedar is mostly found in the southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. That's where most of the natives from down that way will use it in their basketry and stuff like that. The only like Herman would use driftwood red cedar to carve his boats or stuff like that, you know, a little cedar, but I've never seen them around the Chugach region or the Cook Inlet region. I've never seen red cedar around.
Yeah.
And I know I grew up partially in Kodiak, so I kind of grew up around hemlocks and stuff that they use. But in the Kenai Peninsula, Cook Inlet region, you know, I've never noticed any hemlocks or anything like that. So I guess it depends on what region or what area that you're around, you know.
Yeah.
What resources is in your area is what you're going to use.
Exactly.
And basically that's what it was, you know, for people a long time ago. If they were in a place and they used what was readily available and they made do with what they had.
Yeah. What would you, this sounds very generous, general, like it's a very general question, but what would you name as the, like, your favorite or top five forest products or plants? Just your favorite ones that you like to collect or eat or use? And
well, I must say that one of my favorite plants is the Devil's Club plant. I use it a lot, you know, for drinking tea, for making salves, you know, just a lot of different things with Devil's Club. And then my second one would be the spruce, Sitka spruce, like it for basketry. Like I said, it has a lot of medicinal purposes to it also, and I also like the cottonwood tree, and as you can, I like my salmon berries and blueberries.
What about you, Herman? Do you have a favorite in the forest products, in the plants or trees or berries? My number one would be lingonberries, and I'm so happy that I've finally found my spots around here where I can go pick them, low bush cranberries or lingonberries.
Yeah.
I just found some again.
Yay. We were picking some of those, some people call them crowberries. Little black berries, kind of looking, kind of, the bushes kind of look like little pine trees.
Yeah.
I love those things.
Yeah. There was a lot of those in Arctic Valley the other day, and people were picking them because there was no blueberries.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Yeah. Well, would you have something in mind that you'd like to share or talk about more, or add?
I think that because we're part of evolution, that our world is changing, you know, whether we're part of that change or whether we're not, whether we're affecting it. Of course, we are going to affect the world in some ways, you know, by pollution or whatever. But I think that it just goes back to our ancestors, you know, how they traveled from place to place. They didn't live in just one area.
Yeah.
They migrated so that they had resources that they could rely on. So that's why they moved around so much, is so that they wouldn't deplete a resource in an area, that they would let it, you know, rest and grow, and then they would move on to a different area. And then like if they study the, you know, the rainfall and the snowfall, yeah. The elders learn from traditional knowledge and pass down knowledge and that they've been observing for years and years, and they use that as a tool to guide them what they felt was going to be more, what species was going to be more plentiful mm-hmm. in that year than the other.
Yeah.
So then it kind of guided them what they needed to gather to make up for their loss in one resource. Yeah. To make up for that, they would gather more of another resource that was plentiful. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, there was balance. There wasn't just, you know, like nowadays we have so many people using that same resource that they're reaping everything, you know, and they're not giving that species or resource a break, and we just keep on harvesting and harvesting until what's going to happen, it's going to be depleted.
Yeah.
And it's going to be harder for that species to come back. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that if you're going to go in there and you have so many people using that same resource, that resource is going to be depleted.
Yeah.
At some point in time until we stop over harvesting.
Yeah.
Certain species that we know that are in jeopardy, you know.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Doesn't go well with.
And it's hard to find balance because everybody wants that resource because why? It's the dollar.
Yeah.
So it drives it.
Hopefully that'll change.
Yeah, I hope so.
We can hope. Yeah. Well, unless you have anything else to add here now, I'd like to thank you both very much for a very interesting interview, and hopefully the students will enjoy it as much as I have learned a lot. And if you do think of something that, so you were talking about the two windows and picking spruce roots and cottonwood.
Yeah, the cottonwood balsam. There's two windows, and I told you the first one was early in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to collect the spruce roots in the spring before the warm summer, because it causes these pitch pockets and it makes the roots all gnarly and they're not good to weave.
Oh, okay.
It makes it really hard because they just go in all kinds of weird,
okay.
Like it's arthritic,
kind
of like, you know, deformative,
yeah.
Arthritic. And then the cottonwood, the second window of harvesting them is just before snowfall or before the ground freezes, and the balsam, the cottonwood, kind of has a second spring to them or something. I don't know why it is. In the fall, they will start to get their buds again, like they're going to bloom again, like in the spring, and they get these sticky buds on them again.
Yeah.
In the fall before it freezes.
Yeah.
And that would be the two windows that you'd use to harvest them.
Oh, interesting. I've never paid attention to the cottonwood, but that is, now that I think of it, it's like, yeah, it does make those
super
sticky ones.
Two times in a year.
They're all over our carpet, like every fall.
Weird, huh?
Hmm.
It's almost like it has two springs or something to the cottonwood plant or something. It's weird.
Interesting. And you pick those sticky buds as well, the smaller ones?
Yeah, because that's where the medicine mostly concentrated. And you could see it coming off of them.
Yeah.
You could see it dripping off. It's so sticky.
Yeah.
We try to even wear rubber gloves rubber gloves to try to pick them to save your hands from getting all yellow and orange.
Yeah. No.
It doesn't work. You just got to pick them and just get your hands all gnarly.